St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, Panto te chairete, rejoice always, always rejoice. And the word he uses there is the same word which is used for grace, same root.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
By grace you are saved by faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's square one. And then Paul goes on to say, pray without ceasing and give thanks. Those all belong together. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks, all under the grace of Christ. The result is a deep joy.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for being joyfully Lutheran at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. Stanza 4 of the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, makes reference there to the dust and ashes in which all of us will one day lie if Christ does not return before you die. We say there at the graveside, we commit this body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We are echoing both the words of the church's wisdom there that we do indeed return to dust. We are also echoing the greater words spoken by our Creator when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. Dust you are, to dust you will return. The season of Lent is drawing to a close, and with the season of Lent closing, perhaps one more meditation on this season and the ways that it is like that Christian funeral. Joining us to talk about that, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Always a pleasure.
What do you mean when you say that Lent is like a Christian funeral?
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Ash Wednesday, you take a turn to begin especially to look at your own sinfulness and your need for repentance. It's the law of God that works that clearly in us. We take away the alleluias and the liturgy becomes much more somber. Churches that chant often will speak the liturgy in that period of time. And it's a very contemplative time as you prepare for the events of the life of Jesus in his last week. And, you know, more and more it's not done, but at a funeral, you stare death right in the face. I've been at the bedside for many people who have died, and while they've died, spoken their last words or breathed their last breath. And there's something extremely salutary about it. It is sobering to the nth degree. Death is a horrible thing. There's nothing about it that is in any way joyous. We know in the face of death that we have Christ and we have the promise of resurrection, but Lent is that period where we take death, our own death, seriously, and we take the death of Christ very seriously. And that is something that is very rare, increasingly so. However, it is extremely salutary.
You have written recently about the words of committal that are part of the funeral rite. They're spoken usually right there over the open grave with the casket right in many cases, at hand for the pastor. Talk about those words.
Yes, I always put my hand on the casket in doing this. We now commit the body of our brother or sister to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself.
What do those words say? Why are they so important?
I don't know how many times I've talked to individuals on airplanes. I talked to a Roman Catholic guy one time. I wear my collar most of the time, so it gives me the opportunity to bear witness to Christ all the time, even when I'd rather be kind of stuck in my own little world. But I remember talking to this Roman Catholic, and we were talking about eternal life, and he didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. I said, you know, what are you talking about? He was a regular church attender. I said, every week you confess the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. But he did not believe in an actual resurrection. And I've talked to other people, too, who are total Gnostics when this issue comes up, and they really have no idea that the Bible teaches unbelievably clearly that we have a sure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and on the third day rose again bodily, remember that great painting of Caravaggio? I've seen the original in Rome. And Doubting Thomas, Jesus shows up the week after he showed up when Thomas wasn't there. He shows up on Sunday, and Caravaggio paints Thomas sticking his fingers right in the wound in the side of Christ. And it's a real body. It's not some figment like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, or which they got from a heretical Lutheran named Cease, by the way. It's a real body. It's Jesus' own real body raised from the grave. And not only that, the Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of them that sleep. God promises us a resurrection. I don't know how it is that we'll be raised, this body, even after it's melted away into dust and nothing is left, or burned or strewn in the ocean or who knows what. Somehow God will reconstitute our bodies, the very ones that lived and breathed on this earth, for a resurrected eternity. And that's something that is really a marvelous thought. You know, heaven won't be greeting your friends and meeting your believing relatives or your mother and then stretching out your arms to hug her and then falling through her like, you know, two ghosts meeting or something. It will be physical.
You had mentioned doing many funerals as a pastor. I have as well. I've noticed that the funeral is often fairly well attended, but then when we bundle the body up in the hearse and drive out to the cemetery, fewer people will go to the actual committal, even though it is the continuation of that service. Why is it important that we make that trip to the actual graveyard, where we are going to place this body in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection?
I think what has happened to death in general is it's been taken away from us in this sense. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars for the funeral home to take care of the body, and we buy thousands of dollars for caskets, and you know, I'm not really opposed to that at all. We've got vaults. The laws have to say you've got to put this body in a vault. More and more today, there is cremation, and I certainly don't prefer it. The church throughout all the ages has not preferred cremation, and it was basically done by the Romans because, you know, they didn't believe in any kind of resurrection. The Christians did not cremate. On the other hand, all this embalming stuff, we got that from the Egyptians, I guess. So death has been kind of taken away, and we dress the body up with makeup and all that. And there again, I'm not trying to raise any kind of issues, but we less and less confront the reality of death. It is so helpful, in my view, to confront death when it happens. And it makes us contemplate the frailty of this life, the consequences of sin, the need for a Savior, the significance that Jesus himself died, went through death just like we do and will, and rose again. And so going from bedside to death to visitation with an open casket, of course, where sometimes it's not appropriate or possible, to taking the casket to the cemetery, to seeing that casket placed, prepared to be lowered, to have the pastor pick up some dirt as he speaks, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's painful. It hurts, especially when people are buried who we are close to or loved ones. Sometimes the pain is unbearable. You know, the pain of losing a child, I think, in all my years of serving as pastor and still serving, I just did a funeral a couple of months ago. The pain of losing a child is the most difficult thing possible. And then next to that, losing a spouse. But confronting death and its reality drives its law. It drives us to Jesus. It drives us to our consolation, our hope, Jesus, the living Christ. And that is priceless.
We're talking about the season of Lent and the Christian funeral with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and author of several books, including his latest, Why I Am Joyfully Lutheran. This book is a meditation on Luther's small catechism, and that's one of the ways that Luther intended his catechism to be used as a basis for meditation and devotion and prayer. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran is found at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, is the world's attitude toward sin, which is very loose, connected to its attitude toward death?
Oh no! Another Lutheran dirge and other myths.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about this year's hymn sing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be doing some myth busting during our hymn sing. Double dare anyone to participate and walk away thinking Lutherans sing dirges. From God's Own Child to Lord Thee I Love. From Dear Christians One and All Rejoice to In Thee Is Gladness. Oh yeah, lots of joy bursting out in song all over the place. And so sorry, not a dirge in sight. Real Lutheran church music.
Join Pastor Will Whedon and Issues Etc. listeners from around the world for a hymn sing at our one and only Making the Case conference in 2019. Making the Case is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th on the campus of Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Jesus Christ crucified. It's the main point of Christianity. More than that, it's the main point of everything, the event around which all of history turns. It's also the theme of the April issue of The Lutheran Witness. With contributions from Hans Feeney, Cheryl Magnus, and Lutheran Hour speaker Michael Ziegler, this cross-focused issue centers on Christ alone. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
We're getting an answer to the question, how is Lent Like a Christian Funeral from Pastor Matt Harrison. I'm Todd Wilkins. This is Issues Etc. Matt, is the world's attitude toward sin connected to its attitude toward death?
Oh, completely so. You know, Bad Boy of the Rolling Stones, I love rock and roll, aside from some of the putrid lyrics, but Keith Richards, in an interview, was talking about the death of his father and had him cremated, and he put him in a crook of a tree, and he said, "That's it. Life's over. That's my father, that tree." Well, if this is all life is, if we are simply the result of an evolutionary process of chance, then all morality is a construct, and sin is just a choice which may lead to pleasure or hedonism or some effects on other people, who knows, but ultimately it's not meaningful. There's nothing meaningful for this life and eternity. And so, yes, I think there are two things that are absolutely connected.
Why is it hard even for Christians to think about death?
I often think, you know, think of all the people that have lived through all the generations, and what is it? We're alive here and now. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And I know, I turned 57 this year in March, and my parents are in their low to mid-80s. My in-laws, we lost my mother-in-law last year at 90, a fabulous Christian woman. My father-in-law is 95 and still golfing, thank God. But all of a sudden, when they're gone, I'm going to be moving into the senior position in the family. And that means much of my life has been lived on this earth. And I have to confront my own mortality. We all do. And so that's not easy to do. And the beauty of knowing Christ is you confront the reality of death, but you know there's a grand hope. There is an eternity, and it's as sure as Christ's own resurrection.
You say that when you see death up close, you think of Jesus. What do you mean by that?
You see, when death comes, just before it comes, extremities start to cool, and then when death comes, really noticeably within minutes, hands become cold to the touch. Oftentimes, the mouth comes open in death. Please forgive me, dear hearers, if this is something that is offensive to you, but mouth comes open, drooping to the side sometimes, and the face is flushed of blood and becomes white and cold. I remember a woodcut by Albrecht Dürer, the great artist who was very favorable toward Luther at the early times of the Reformation. He did a series of woodcuts on the crucifixion of Christ, and there's one where Christ, I believe, is being taken down from his cross, and here it is, a woodcut. It's only in ink, a dark ink, and on paper, and yet if you look at it, you see him depict in black and white, essentially, the face of the dead Christ. And I'm always reminded of that when I see death. My Savior tasted death. I know another one whose face hung in death. I knew another one who breathed his last. I knew another one whose extremities grew cold. I knew another one whose eyes closed in death. And I see, even in that depiction of Christ there, the greatest consolation. He has gone before me into death and through it to resurrection. That is great comfort. That's why I love the crucifix. That's why Lutherans love. You know, many Roman Catholic churches, especially at the time of the Reformation, did altars depicting the Assumption of Mary or other Mariological things, you know, Queen Mary and all kinds of apocryphal saints and all kinds of things like that. Lutherans had altarpieces which depicted Christ on the cross universally. And this is why.
St. Paul writes this: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope for only this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. What is the apostle saying there?
Well, he's talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, and among the many problems that were going on in that church, and by the way, he didn't break fellowship with them, even though there were so many heresies going on. Hopefully things improved after Paul's letter. Then we know Clement took over in post-apostolic times. But there were people there heavily influenced by Greek Gnosticism who denied the resurrection of the body. And Paul said, look, if Christ is not risen, the whole thing is for naught and for nothing. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have eternity for us, before us. And not only that, everything which Christ taught and said and promised, from baptism to saying, I and the Father are one, to the Lord's Supper, to his ascension and his promised return, is all true.
What is the comfort of Christ's? We've been talking a lot about death and the body and putting the body into the earth for the resurrection. What is the comfort of Christ's bodily resurrection?
I think it's impossible for us to conceive of timelessness. It's impossible for us to conceive of eternity. When heaven is depicted, often it's depicted as something ethereal in popular treatments. And even in sort of biblical treatments that are based on the book of Revelation and the multitudes that are praising Christ in eternity seem quite surreal. The resurrection means the same Jesus is alive. And it means we shall be alive in a concrete eternity that will be as concrete as this one. I'm knocking on the desk here in the studio. It'll be concrete and concretely joyous. And we will enjoy the hope, and hope will no longer exist because we will see the real thing. And we will timelessly enjoy one another and Christ. Unspeakable blessing.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Learn more at cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. Matt, thanks.
Thanks, Todd. Happy Easter.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Good Friday with Pastor David Peterson, and we'll study the hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, with Dr. Arthur Just. Death is the enemy. Death is awful. Death hurts. But death is defeated by the author of life, the one who died and rose for us, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Be strong and courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muskoka, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muskoka, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuskoka.com.